Welcome to Risk Ready, presented by the Private Risk Management Association.
Hi, and welcome to the PRMA Risk Ready podcast, the show for risk management professionals in the high net worth space. I'm your host for this episode, Kimberly Lewis. I spent the last 21 years in the P&C insurance industry, with 18 of those years working for high net worth insurance carriers. Today, we are talking to three parents about their children's access to social media and how they are addressing the topic of cyberbullying. I created this three-part series to help brokers, wealth advisors, family office managers, and carriers understand the issues parents face when it comes to their children and social media, and the urgent need for proactive assistance to understand how to prevent cyberbullying, how to address cyberbullying if it does happen, and the ramifications they can face if their child is involved in a cyberbullying incident. Throughout the course of our conversation, we will touch on best practices all three parents have implemented for their own families, and participants share extremely personal experiences regarding their children and cyberbullying. I think you will find the conversation eye-opening and informative. There is no doubt that this topic is here to stay, and parents are in need of your assistance as they navigate the unknowns. Welcome to part one of this episode. Part one provides insight into how these parents navigate the pressure to provide their children with access to devices and social media. We will also discuss how they talk to their children about cyberbullying.
Yes. So thanks again for joining me for a roundtable conversation about children and access to social media and cyberbullying. If you guys want to introduce yourselves and how many kids you have and ages, that would be great. Karina, I don't know if you want to start with yourself.
It's easy. I'm Karina Solomon. I have three kids: Maya Solomon, who is 10 years old; Nicole Solomon, that's 8; and Joshua, that's 5 years old.
Oh wow! Okay. All right, and Anna.
I have two kids. My older son is 9.5 and my daughter just turned 8.
Oh, wow. Okay. Anuja.
I'm Anuja Mauji. I have two daughters, Aliana Mauji, who is 9, and Samara Mauji, who is 6. And I also have some input from my sister, who has older kids. She has a 15-year-old girl, Karina, and an 11-year-old boy, middle school, Jaden. So I have some experiences to share about that as well.
Awesome. Great. So I think the first question I wanted to throw out there is access to smart devices, right? So tablets, iPhones, computers at school or in the household. Do your kids have access to it? When did you feel like it was appropriate to start giving them access to the internet and social media?
I don't know if we were going in order. My kids, they all have their own iPads and that they're like our iPads from home. And then they also have access to the school because the school offered them the iPads to use the school websites that they're allowed, or a little programs where they can study with. Then it's a little more, instructed, like where they know they're being told what to do and how to use and blah, blah, blah. But they also have a little access to the internet when they give to them. Tell the truth, if my kids started to use iPad when, Maya, around 4 years old, a little bit more than that, because it was very helpful for me to keep her busy watching some little cartoons and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Very like age appropriate, because we're making sure she has YouTube Kids, or she has a little app that allows her to watch something in her age appropriate, and then that move on. It gets the age appropriate start with 4, and then the second one, and then the third one. Each one got the iPad earlier than earlier. Today, Maya, who just graduated from 5th grade, her graduation present was iPhone, a smartphone, and it's not that I thought that she was ready for. It was a mixed feeling, because I thought she's a good girl and then she does very well in school, but it's kind of like everybody else is getting, not that she has to be like everybody else, but at the same time, I don't want to have the bitter taste that why my friends have and I don't. I don't want her to miss out, but at the same time, we try to explain to her that's a very, very let's say, help me the words, ladies. When you get a present, it's very important. FYI, Kimberly, I'm from Brazil. Sometimes the English words disappear.
No, that's totally fine.
then it's like something that she has to be very careful. You know, do not take a picture from her friends if the friends don't allow. Do not share posts. She doesn't have social media, but don't share pictures of other girls to this girl to that girl. You know, different chats
right.
themselves. And we try to tell her. And the other thing we told her too, it's make sure if you have questions or if you're not sure if something is true or not, come ask us. The internet, but we try like on a YouTube Kids, we can put the age appropriate and we try to block the Safari, not to just go crazy and, you know, web. And we put timer on their device that you have this amount of hours or during the day. And then after that, it shuts down. I have my own password. They don't know. And that's it.
So a lot of parental controls and make sure that everything is lines up with their age and content specific for their age and access things that are specific for their age.
Another example, like my kids like to play Roblox. And I always share this with Corey, my husband, because I said, well, I don't do games and I don't know them well. And I said, well, I do research in this and you take care of the game. You make sure it's age appropriate or if there's like you block strangers to talk to them or block noises. They can play in the same because you go to the virtual world where you guys can play with other people, but you don't interact. They don't know who you are. It's just like a little, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And Anna, what about you? What about your kids?
I mean, Karina basically said it all. Since my kids are younger, they don't have their own phones just yet.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they keep asking for it, especially Nathan, the older one. He keeps asking, when do I get my iPhone? When do I get my phone? And just because some of his friends, frankly, already have their phones and they're, you know, 9 and 10 year olds. Yeah. And we just keep procrastinating and hoping that we can also similarly to the Solomons, give them their phone just a graduation gift when they're 11 or so. So that's just not a topic for us just yet. But everything else, you know, they got their iPads also because it's convenient for the parents. So they got their iPads pretty early on. You know, we limited the time on their iPads. So there's definitely that. They don't have access to the web. They can just go ahead and browse the web. Similar to what Karina just said, they have access to YouTube Kids. And that actually is something that, you know, we didn't do right away. We at first it was, YouTube is harmless, you know, in our mind, but obviously it's not. Until also something happened where we're like, well, this is not quite age appropriate. And so we started restricting that. So now it's just really YouTube Kids for them. The only issue that we, not issue, but a concern that we saw was with Roblox as well, just because that's really the only channel for them to interact with others, without us knowing per se. So we did actually just recently, we had a chat with them saying, look, you can talk with your friends, and we made sure we understand how they recognize their friends. Obviously they go by names and they go by a certain look. And that's how they can chat with them. But if there's very specific role in the family, they cannot, talk to anybody else other than their friends.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. So it's really the parental control as far as, you know, time limit. Of course, you know, for convenience, if we need them to be a little bit longer on their iPads, we're just excited to have it.
Dinner hour, yeah.
We'll do that. But mainly it's just Roblox, making sure they're just, you know, we limit their conversation to someone they know.
Right. Nanuja, what about you and obviously any insights from your sister about when her kids got access and stuff?
I wish she could join because she was slammed tonight. But so my kids, I'll start with that, I would say is very similar to what Anna and Karina said. Aliana's at that age now where I would say a good portion of her friends going into fifth grade have iPhones or some access to that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And some of them actually, believe it or not, fourth graders as of last year had access to TikTok and Instagram with their parents, I think supervising, but I saw some of the content and it's not something I would probably allow my children to do, but the pressure is already there starting in fourth grade, at least with girls. I don't know how much with boys. So Aliana has the same access to iPads and websites as Karina and Anna's kids do. We have parental controls on everything. Roblox was an issue, actually, Aliana. We didn't know at some point that you could turn off the feature to talk to strangers. And there were people asking her like, oh, where do you live or what's your name or something? And she didn't respond. She knew it was wrong. Like she understood that it didn't seem right to respond. And we had a long conversation about never give information to any stranger. Like you have to only talk to your friends and that's it. And so we've since put restrictions on that as well. I'd say with her, the only added thing that the others didn't mention is that she does chat with like instant message Facebook chats with her school friends. We have access to it. And I periodically read all of the dialogue. And there was a situation last year with not involving her specifically, but she gets invited to other larger chat groups. And then there's often a lot of talk about in those groups about other kids. And there were incidents last year where there were rumors being spread about a kid being gay or lots of things like that. I personally was not involved in any of that because my child was not involved in it. But I do know that some parents reported it. The only thing the school actually did was the principal did have a talk with all of the fourth grade about good practices online and, you know, being a good digital citizen, that kind of thing. I don't know if specific parents were spoken to about what their child may or may not have said. So I don't know anything about that. But I will say from a chat perspective, we've absolutely had conversations with Aliana about, you know, before you say anything or do anything or post anything in a chat, think about if that's something you want as a reflection of you. We've had that conversation many times with her. Like if you wouldn't want mom or daddy to see it or your grandparents to see it or your teachers to see it, then it's probably not right. Mm-hmm. And so she fully gets it and she's opted out of groups where she sees that the conversation has gotten kind of, you know, not so great. So that's, I would say with us, it's everything the other two said plus that aspect. And then with my sister, and I will say for me, she's been like a really good resource because she's gone through a lot of this, especially with her niece, with my niece who is a girl and my daughters are kind of going through a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
But I'll say my niece actually went through, it was a stem of cyberbullying, but it happened in reality, which was that my sister did not allow her to have any social media accounts until basically ninth grade, I think, end of eighth grade, in the beginning of ninth grade. And a lot of her friends had it by sixth grade.
Wow.
And she went through a very rough period through middle school, where she lost a lot of her friends, mainly because it just wasn't cool that she wasn't on these platforms. And there was even like a lot of talk about her on these platforms and then incidents at school, like something so bad as like she's got allergies and she sits at an allergy table and a girl threw a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at her face. Like it got to this point and my sister I wish she could talk to it a little bit more, but the school did not do much about it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know what to make of that, but I think that this is only going to happen more and more. And I think schools actually do need to have more of a policy around this. But either way, I'm digressing. For her, with respect to actually being on social media, the way my sister handles it, and I think is a great strategy, is that she basically does not allow Karina to post anything without approval. So Karina, even if she wants to take a photo of herself or her friends, she has to get my sister to sign off on it before she can post it. My sister also has full access to her account and can see who her friends are, and thankfully, all of her followers are actually actual friends and not just random people. She's not allowed to accept random people to follow her. And what I like about that is I think that it forces my niece you know, she's not going to get approval for something embarrassing, you know, a photo of her in like a bikini. And she does often sometimes takes a photo, a selfie of herself at the beach, you know, because all her friends do that. It's just the age, I suppose. But my sister will not let her put anything that's like overly suggestive or provocative in any way. And she does understand that, you know, these things, even if it's a story that expires in 24 hours, someone could have taken a photo of that and it's out there. It's permanent. Right. Like whatever you put out there, it can come back to haunt you. And we have this conversation. She has this conversation with her. I have this conversation with her. We all do, because it's very easy to want to restrict your kids. But if everyone around them is participating in this world and they're not, that's also tricky. So I understand Karina's point, which is, you know, like even if you don't want to get your kid an iPhone after fifth grade, everybody has one. Literally everyone has one.
The peer pressure starts to build, right?
Yeah. And I think it happens among parents too, right? You feel like, I think we're all lucky that we're all kind of on the same page about how we handle our kids. And so thankfully, like our friends, our kids are friends with each other and they all kind of feel they're in the same place because our parenting is similar. But it gets trickier, I think, probably in middle school more than in elementary school. So speaking from my sister's experience, I think there are rough times ahead if we're willing to like restrict our kids from having a lot of access, because I think it causes a divide sometimes in school, which then, you know, I think she was cyberbullied, but she wasn't even seeing what was being said about her.
Right,
but there
right,
was a lot of conversation happening on social platforms about her. And that has since ended, thankfully, and she's having a wonderful high school experience. And she came out of it that much stronger and capable of handling all this. But I don't think everybody's story is that. So it concerns me a little bit, having daughters and just the, you know, self-esteem issues and all of that that comes with it. So I don't know if I did a good job covering her.
You know, Anuja, to your point, you know, statistically speaking, girls are more prone to get into cyberbullying incidences, right? Like boys tend to be more physical and verbal bullying, right? And girls just tend to be, you know, sort of use technology as a screen, right? Between what they're doing and the reality of what they're doing, right? To be like, well, it's just a TikTok, or it's just a Snapchat, or it's just a post or a message, or liking a nasty comment that someone posted on someone else's social media, right? And it's one of those things, well, I physically didn't do it. I only clicked a button, or I only, right? And they kind of use that as, I guess maybe like technology to hide behind.
I can also just want to add one thing, alone for Maya, that's such a gift. It's such an opportunity for her to be part of that pack that has this social media platform, but it's also a tool that I have against her because I can take back.
Right.
It's like, we give you opportunity because you're a good kid and we trust you, but it has to be transparent. Otherwise it goes like embarrassing. Like, I'm like, anyway, but just I take the phone. Like, once you go to bed, phone's in my room. This way, I see that she can, use it when I'm.
Actually, I think it's a great idea to just to take away their homes for a while. You know, at least when they go to bed.
Yeah, it's in my room. She can have it in the morning. Everything gets done, and she's ready, and then she can have it.
I will say I agree with that. I think that setting that time limit is huge. Our kids' iPads stay in downstairs. So when they go to bed, it's not in their bedrooms, but I many a night hear FaceTimes going off on Aliana's iPad at 10 PM. It's like, who is FaceTiming you? And I look and it's her friend, and not like her immediate close friends, but friends in her grade. And I'm just shocked that these parents either have no clue that their kids are doing this, or, I don't know. And I don't even know as a parent, like, do I tell that kid's, I just wanted you to know. It's like, I'm not sure.
Thank you for joining us today for the Risk Ready podcast. We encourage you to subscribe, download, and review our podcast. Until the next time, stay risk ready.